Welcome to the podcast of Lambrick Park Church. Our recording on July 21st did not work on Sunday morning, so I am re-recording this for you who are listening at home. All right, so if you have a Bible, turn with me to Psalm 23. Let me begin by reading Psalm 23 for us right as we begin. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Living God, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit. This psalm names so many experiences that feel in this moment like a comfort to us. We long for green pastures, to hear your voice, to know your protection. We ask, God, in your mercy and grace, that you would take your word, you take a podcast, you take me, and you would give us ears and you would speak, God, to us, that we would not just find consolation in hearing this psalm, but we would be drawn into life with you in a way where we would experience it, God, as David did. So come lead us now. Amen. Well, if you're just joining us, we are on week 3 of a summer study in Psalm 23, one of the most beloved passages in the Bible. And today we come to one of the lines in this psalm that I have run to countlessly throughout my life. Psalm 23, verse 3. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I know the next verse says that it's the shepherd's rod and staff that comfort us, but this is the verse that probably has, above all, comforted me. And not in a huggy, warm, hot chocolate sort of way, but in the original sense of the word, come forte, with strength, to give strength. This is a verse that has given me strength to live and move forward with hope and confidence that God will lead me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There's so much there that we need in every season, in every stage of our lives. It's easy and common to think of our young adult years as a critical time of discernment and decision, a season in our lives where we uniquely need wisdom and guidance to know and choose the right paths. And it's true, but it's also a lie, because every season, every stage in our lives, whether younger or older, in the early days of making life commitments or decades into living those commitments or faced with new ones, every season and stage in our lives requires wise discernment and the need for God to be our guide. Truth is, life requires this, right? And that's one of our struggles, I think, because when we talk about the need for God's guidance and seeking God's guidance, so often, maybe too often, we are in the throes of the hugest decisions of our lives, or at least that's how it feels. But one of the essential critical learnings in regard to God's guidance, the need for God's guidance, and how to discern God's guidance is that God's guidance is an everyday matter. It's an all, at all times, in all things matter. We know this, right? Jan and I have been married for 20 years now, and I thank God for guiding me 21 years ago to pursue her in the cafeteria at university, to ask her out, to pursue her in our relationship, to choose to ask her to marry me and to commit my life to her. But I'll be honest, and you know this, I need God's guidance today as much as then, if not more, to live faithfully the vows that I made 20 years ago, right? Discernment and guidance are not just something we need in the big moments of our lives. It's what we need every single day. It's not just about choosing which path to walk, but choosing again and again to stay on the path we've chosen and to walk it well with God. I could say the same thing about our discernment process 3 years ago to come here to Lambrick. We just passed our 3-year anniversary of being here. I often look back with thankfulness for how God led us here. But I know, you know, with me, that my need for God's leading didn't stop the day we said yes to God and your invitation. All that changed was the location of my calling to seek and follow God's leading. All that to say, this verse, Psalm 23, verse 3, "He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake," isn't just for those facing critical life-altering decisions these days or in the coming days. No, this is a verse that speaks with urgency and relevance to every one of us today. We are all people who need to know and follow God's guidance today. Psalm 23 invites us into a guided life, not just moments, but a life that is guided by God all the time in all things. And there's something vital about knowing and living this, not just because God wants us to know his wisdom and leading all the time, but because our capacity to discern God's leading in the big, epic, big-ticket, high-pressure decisions of our lives is a capacity that is learned and developed as we seek to discern and follow God's leading in the ordinary, everyday, incremental Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday matters of our lives. And let me say that again, because it's huge. Our capacity to discern God's leading in the big, epic, big-ticket, high-pressure decisions of our lives is a capacity that is learned and developed as we seek to discern and follow God's leading in the ordinary, everyday, incremental matters of our lives. This is the beautiful revelation of Psalm 23, that the shepherd is actively seeking to guide his sheep every day. So where do you need God's guidance today? Where do you need to know and follow God's lead? And let me suggest, it's not just in the big things, though it is in that too. Well, to help us hear this verse in context, one that I think we can relate to, Kenneth Bailey, a scholar I've referenced over these weeks, explains. He says, "The open wilderness and the Holy Land often exhibits a maze of faint trails worn by countless flocks of sheep. The shepherd alone knows which of them leads out of that valley to the next stage in the day's journey rather than abruptly ending in some dead end or a cliff edge." I love Bailey's description of a maze of faint trails. That's how life feels for many these days. In our day, in our age, in all of the shifts within our culture, it often feels like all we have left are a maze of faint trails, right? Do you feel that? Not even that sometimes. It's not even faint trails, which is what many want. This to many is the ideal, the freedom of a life utterly unscripted, which sounds attractive. Maybe to you it sounds attractive until you find yourself lost, as sheep often do, until you realize that the path you're on, the path you've chosen, the path others have forged before you and you've followed, or the path your own heart has set itself on, has led you to a dead end or a barren field, to a dried up creek or a perilous ridge, to someone else's ranch, or simply to a place you never wanted to be and don't want to be, and you don't know your way out or even just back. Here again, we see and feel the gift, the grace of the shepherd in Psalm 23. A shepherd who does not abandon us to go wherever we want because our life matters nothing to him. Now, Psalm 23 invites us to embrace the grace of a life wisely, lovingly guided by a good shepherd who knows what's over the hill and beyond it, who knows where the hungry wolves are lurking when we ate our last meal and when the rains are coming, and who loves us enough to guide us to where we need to go and be. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, some versions translate the paths as right paths. He guides me along right house, which makes sense in the context of the sheep shepherd metaphor. It's been helpful to me over the years in moments where I have found myself wrestling to discern the right path or paths. It's a gift to know in those moments, especially God's sheep, don't need to know everything, that God does, and he's our shepherd. He's my shepherd, the one who guides me. Because none of us can know everything, right? Especially about tomorrow. We can't know all the variables. We can't know how or when the weather will change or where the wolves will be lurking and which stream will be calmer tomorrow or which field will finally be ripe and ready for consumption. And so it is a profound gift to know that my shepherd knows all this and he will guide me along right paths. This psalm and the larger witness of the biblical revelation invite us to live with this confidence and trust. But the better translation is paths of righteousness. The Hebrew word means righteous. And David says this for a good reason. Because David, the psalmist, knows that God's guidance isn't just or primarily concerned with where we are going, but who we end up being wherever we are, right? David, though using the metaphor of sheep, knows that he is not, in essence, a sheep. He is a person, a child of God. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Not that God isn't interested in the particular outcome of the decisions we face or are facing, what school to go to, what career to pursue and when, or to leave and start a new one, whether to pursue marriage or to remain single and on. God is intimately interested and invested in all the decisions and directions of our lives. But here in Psalm 23, David emphasizes something else, something that we need to take to heart as we stand in the quandary of impending decisions in front of us or as we live in the wake of critical decisions we have already made. God's concern isn't just with where we go, but who we are, wherever we are or will be. He wants to lead us in paths of righteousness, which doesn't mean religiousness, right? It's righteous paths. Paths, ways of being and doing, ways of living in relationship with God, with ourselves, and with others that reflect God's character, God's priorities, God's ways, wherever we are. Righteous is a relational word. It describes the nature of our relationships, relationships that reflect God's priorities, God's characteristics, God's ways, which has been a gift to me in a few particularly confusing seasons of my journey where I followed what I believed to be God's leading and found myself in a situation quite different than I had thought I was signing up for. I think some of us probably know the experience. Obviously, God knew what I was signing up for, but I didn't. And in those places of deep soul tension, this psalm and its invitation to look to God, not to change my situation or redirect me, but to guide me in paths of righteousness, has been so core for me. Leading me, inviting me to ask and pray, not how can I get out of this, but God, how can I follow and honor you here? How can I walk in righteousness here in ways that honor your values and priorities for me, for this place, for these people? And I'm thankful as I look back on different seasons and one season in particular that I still can't make sense of. A season where I often reflect on it and I can't make sense of, I couldn't understand, especially then, why God had led me there and where he was in the midst of so many of those days. I felt so lost so often. And yet as I reflect on that season, amidst all my confusion and all the ways that it seemed God was doing nothing, I look back now and I realize God was leading me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I may not have always known what to do, but I knew that I needed to seek and honor Christ even in my confusion. And in his grace, he led me. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. For his name's sake. That last phrase can feel odd at times. It can feel second rate, less than ideal. Wouldn't it be better, don't you wish, that the verse read, because he loves us. He guides us in paths of righteousness because he loves us. For his name's sake sounds a bit self-serving, maybe a lot. I'm sure I've had those thoughts. But over the last number of years, as I've lived with this psalm, I've come to love this last phrase and what it means about God's commitment to me and you and every one of his sheep. So what does it mean? Well, it means that God's name is on the line with us. God has put his reputation, his character, his name on the line in us, with our lives and the paths we walk. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That is stunning. It doesn't need to be this way. God could lead us in paths of righteousness simply because it's right, because it's good for us, good for others, because he loves us. But honestly, I'm convinced that this verse actually says something that's better news than that, because it means that God has staked his reputation on us. He has bound himself to us and us to him. What a gift that God's commitment to guide us is staked on his name, because although much shifts and changes around us and even within us, God's name, God's character, God's reputation is the most solid thing we could ever know. There's nothing about God's character that can or will ever change. And because of this, you and I can live and rest in the deepest confidence that God will never abandon us. But he will always seek to guide us in paths of righteousness because his name is on the line with us. And this, friends, I think is an incredible comfort, can be an incredible comfort to us, a gift that strengthens us to know that in our places of deepest anxiety, where we are wrestling to know the right way to go, we're not the only one eager to know God's leading, but God himself is eager for us to know his leading. We need to know that. I need to know that. There are times in the midst of a wrestling, a quandary, where I wonder, does God even care? Does God want, I know I want to know what is the right path, but does God care? But this verse tells me God cares. God's name is on the line with what happens with my life. I am not the only one eager to know God's leading. God himself eager for us, for me, for you to know his leading. Because his name is on the line with us. He guides us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So how? Right? That's the question many of us are asking. And that, my friends, deserves another sermon, if not its own series. But that would be mean and unhelpful, so I'm not going to do that. Let me just name a few foundational points on how God guides, how we can recognize and discern God's leading. Before I dive into that, let's pray, because I feel like what I've already said, we've covered so much ground that many of us have needed to hear, but what we're stepping into now is leaning into something that some of us so desperately need to learn, and so I think it's worth praying. So let's pray. Living God, we recognize that we are treading right now into a place that is a lived experience of so many of us, that we find ourselves in places where we need to know your guidance, where we need to know where you are inviting us to paths of righteousness and right paths for your name's sake. Right now, some of us have questions in front of us, big life-altering decisions, some of us just day-to-day stuff where we need to be on your path. God, it matters for our lives. It matters for your name. It matters for others and who are impacted by us. So Lord, as we turn to listen, to ask how can we hear your voice? Oh Lord, teach us. Amen. All right, so let me just name a few foundational points on how God guides us, how we can recognize and discern God's leading. And it starts with the simple yet mysterious reality that God's primary way of guiding us is with his voice, not with signs, but with his voice, which is not always what we want, is it? Sometimes it just seems too complicated. We just rather God gave us a sign, right? Or maybe a roadmap that tells us everything, which is how some Christians think of the Bible as the complete manual for everything you will ever face in your life. You just need to read your Bible. But as we read the Bible, we discover something else. We find ourselves drawn into a life. We see a life described, a life that is rooted deeply in, devoted deeply to God's revelation in Scripture, but not limited merely to a relationship with Scripture. Now, although the Bible is indispensable to our hearing God's voice and knowing God's leading in our lives, and I can't overstate that, God offers us something more than just the Bible. He offers us Himself. This is the gospel. As one of my profs in university, in grad school, Paul Stevens, once said, the word guidance is never found in the Bible. Instead, what we are given is something better. We are given a guide. We're given a shepherd. We're given Jesus, who leads us with His living, empowering voice. Now, I suspect my prof was overstating in saying that the word guidance is never found in the Bible. I suspect it's there, but his point is clear and true. The gospel is this revelation that we are given more than just guidance. We are given God Himself, Jesus, to be our guide. Jesus says this explicitly in John chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. And then again in John 10, verse 37, Jesus says to his disciples, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Okay, so if God's primary way of guiding us is with his voice, how do we come to hear and know his voice? And this is where Scripture, the Bible, comes into play. Because it's through our immersion in the biblical story that we come to know God, and with this, in this, to develop the capacity to discern His voice today, so that when God speaks, we can know that it is, in fact, God speaking to us and leading us in His way, because we have come to know God's ways. Because we have come to know, through the biblical revelation, what God is like, to know His character and concerns, to know what God cares about, what stirs His heart, what inflames His passions, what He is fiery mad about, what He hates, what He loves, what He doesn't give a rip about, what He's constantly wanting to see happen, what His thoughts are about us, about the world, about our sin, about our gifts, about Himself, about the gospel, what He's pursuing all the time, including right now. Truth is, this is what we are doing right here, isn't it? We are studying Psalm 23 this summer, that through this we would come to know God more, to better understand God's ways in our lives, and in this to hear where God is speaking to us today by His living grace. And here and there, in the grace of God, it happens. Not every Sunday, not every time we open our Bibles, but as we listen to God's revelation in Scripture, we find ourselves at times not just learning God's liberating truth, but hearing the living voice of Jesus, our Shepherd, speaking to us and inviting us to follow Him in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. By attending to how God has spoken and acted in the past, as revealed in Scripture, in the biblical narrative, we develop the capacity to discern God's voice today. Okay, well, before we run off to just read our Bibles more on our own, we need to acknowledge that the gift of Scripture, through which God has spoken and continues to speak, comes to us always through the gift of this messy thing called the church, the community of Jesus' followers. Right, we would not have the Bible without the church, the community that God has inspired and sustained by His Word. Think about it. Where does Jesus dwell today? Does He dwell in the pages of Scripture? No, He dwells in His people, in the church, a community called together by the Word of God to embody now, by the Spirit, the life of Jesus, which again is why we're here. Right here, we come together as a church, as a people of God, Sunday after Sunday and here and there beyond Sundays to worship God and listen to and for his voice. Because in the mystery of God, God has chosen to make himself known to us, not only through scripture, but through his people, the church. Neither of which are that easy to live with, right? We wrestle with the Bible, we wrestle with one another, and sometimes we wrestle with one another about the Bible. Both of these relationships are challenging. Both of them require the work of the Spirit. And yet it's here, as we immerse ourselves in the biblical story together, as we lean into God's revelation together, as we lean into one another together in Christ, that we find ourselves caught up in this story. That we find ourselves addressed by Jesus and led in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. All right, let me close with one final word of encouragement to you, a word of hope to you who are convinced that you're no good at this, that you'll never learn this. As you've listened today, your heart has felt this ache and longing to be someone who knows God's guidance and paths of righteousness for his name's sake, and yet inwardly you keep thinking, but that's just not me. I'm just not wired that way. I'm not one of those Christians. And to you, let me ask you, in the relationship of a shepherd and a sheep, which is the metaphor that Psalm 23, but also Jesus himself uses when speaking about his relationship with us, in the relationship of a shepherd and the sheep, who bears the biggest responsibility? Yeah, that's right. It's the shepherd. Everything hangs on the shepherd, on the diligence and faithfulness of the shepherd, on the goodness of the shepherd, on the attentiveness and wisdom of the shepherd, on the communicative abilities and the love and the care and the devoted leadership of the shepherd. So why are some of us so afraid we'll never know God guiding us in paths of righteousness? In this, as this verse tells us, for the sake of his own name, the shepherd will see that we are guided in his way. All we have to do is listen and follow his voice. Everything else is in the shepherd's court. All we have to do is listen and follow in his way. And so the question for us is, will we? Will you? Are we? Are you? Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, we bow to you and acknowledge that we have been made to walk in your paths, that there is life for us in your paths, that this is what you have made us for. And yet as we listen to your word today, we are struck with how often we, though we want right paths, we don't always want to follow your paths. We long to know your leading, but at times we have no time to listen or no desire. And at times you do guide us, you do speak, you do point us in the right direction, you do invite us to follow, but we don't come, we don't follow, we don't go in your way. And so we ask today in your mercy and grace for your forgiveness, Lord, that you would forgive us and turn our hearts in repentance to seek to wake up to this grace that your way and your call is where life is for us, that it is in your love that you call us and seek to guide us, that you are worthy of our trust and our ear and our following. Well, Lord God, in your mercy and your grace, thank you for speaking to us today, for naming us and calling us to yourself. Thank you for your revelation in Scripture, the grace of your Spirit, by which you take this word, this ancient text, and you make it the means of your living voice to us today. Give us faith to respond to where we have heard your voice today, for your glory, for the sake of the world, and for our joy in you. Amen.